miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You know, most part I'm always at leisure. That's why I love listening to Radio MD for other shows and, this show, You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. It's wonderful listening to these shows at leisure. Welcome in. It's Dr. Arthur Perry at 35 after the hour, straight talk from the docs. Time now for What's Toxic and What's Not. It's Dr. Gary Ginsberg, toxicologist's position in the show. Welcome on. Good to have you back again, Dr. G.
Of course, yeah. This is where I am on Saturday nights.
This is your thing. This is big in the news. I've heard a lot of this week. It's arsenic in apple juice, and let's get that segment started with this. Arsenic in apple juice, it's nothing new, is it?
No. We have known for the last couple of years, since Consumer Union did a survey, and the Dr. Oz TV show did a survey.
Well, really, wait a second. Let's give Dr. Oz full credit on this. His group did the survey, did the analysis, and then when they got attacked by both the FDA and the ABC News correspondent Richard Besser, they went and got Consumer Union and said, "Hey, check all the data out that we got." Consumer Union found the same thing. That's why the FDA. So let's give full credit. This is Dr. Oz's thing that he pushed, even though he took a lot of abuse in doing it.
Oh, it was very controversial at the time, yeah, because he was going up against FDA. But what has happened now, because of all of that, what you might say, consciousness raising or agitation by the Dr. Oz show, FDA has really had to confront the issue, and they had a very loosey-goosey, maybe we'll do some sampling, target level of 23 parts per billion of arsenic in apple juice. So it was very loosely regulated. Over time, FDA has done some of their own sampling now, and they agree that there are times when the arsenic level in apple juice is higher than our comfort level, than our toxicology comfort level, going into these little children's bodies would feel good about. So they have now said that they still don't have a tolerance level. And when FDA sets a tolerance, like for a pesticide, that says we're going to test it regularly, and we have the ability, the legal authority, to pull that off the market. This is not a tolerance level, but they are setting an action level, which is one step down in authority. But they're setting an action level of 10 parts per billion, much lower than the 23, which they were tolerating 2 years ago. So now they're down to 10. They're calling it an action level, and theoretically they will be doing more about keeping arsenic out of apple juice. And the industry is now put on notice that they need to get down below 10. Look, arsenic is crustal. It's out there in the environment. It's in rice. It's at trace levels and other things. We're not going to get to zero arsenic, either in our drinking water or in our apple juice. Now, at least FDA has set a standard or an action level that matches what we all go by in our drinking water supply. So they are moving in the right direction. Hopefully, they'll be testing and be vigilant and hold these apple juice makers to the fire if they go over 10.
Is there any reference to arsenic on a label on apple juice?
No. This is a contaminant. You don't have to list contaminants on a label.
Okay. All right. So would you have to trust
the consumer, you know, what can the consumer do?
Yes.
You know, you could buy organic apple juice, and that's theoretically not coming in from Brazil or China or some of these places where they have arsenical pesticides that they're still using. So a lot of times the organic apple juice is actually from Washington State and is going to be more guaranteed to be low. So I'd say that's one thing people can do.
Okay. What's happening, Gary, with pesticide foggers?
Yes. This story kind of really opened my eyes to the danger. I had no idea how flammable they are. But there was a woman in Chinatown who was perturbed by all the creepy crawlies in her apartment. And so she went to the hardware store, and anybody could buy these foggers rather than hiring an exterminator. They're inexpensive, and it's like a push button, and you can fog your apartment. And many people use these and don't follow the directions, which means the directions are get yourself out of the apartment, seal up all your clothing so they don't become contaminated, and don't leave the pilot light on because it's flammable. And this woman had the pilot light on, and it blew up her apartment. So fogging with pesticide with a pilot light on, or if you lit a match, you could blow up your apartment. So they're dangerous. And they don't have that many explosions and fires from them. This was a bad one. It just happened in Chinatown. 12 people were injured, wiped out a couple of units in an apartment.
And you don't want to use one of those foggers near your grill, outside grilling, because I see people using the foggers for outside pests.
Exactly, Mike. Yeah, good point there. And you don't want to use a fog. As a toxicologist, I'd much rather see people hire an exterminator, somebody who's going to be careful, who's going to make sure the apartment is sealed up and everybody's out of it, and is going to do the job, because these foggers, if you don't use them right, it's not going to do the job anyway.
All right, issue number three, Gary, why should we eat peppers?
Okay, so I don't know how many folks out there realize this. Cigarette smoking is, in general, bad for you. But the one good thing that's pretty much proven about cigarette smoking is that it lowers your risk of getting Parkinson's disease. And we think it's the nicotine in the cigarette, in the tobacco, that stimulates pathways in the brain that decreases the damage from Parkinson's disease, keeps the brain going longer. So that's well established in the literature. So we don't really want to recommend to people that they smoke cigarettes, do we?
No.
If they're at risk of Parkinson's disease. No, that's not the right public health message at all. Well, now we're finding that there's nicotine-like chemicals in the tobacco family and in other parts of the tobacco family, like peppers. So red peppers, green peppers, hot peppers, they all are in the tobacco family, and they do have some nicotine in them as a stimulant. And it's very low levels, but a study was just done of 500 people with Parkinson's disease and 600 people who don't have it, and the people who didn't have it eat more peppers. So it's right now very loose, theoretical, but it can't hurt. Peppers are good for you in general. They've got vitamin C, and they have some nicotinoids that could theoretically stave off your risk of Parkinson's disease. I think what's going to happen in this area, people are going to extract whatever they can out of peppers, and they're going to put it into animals and find out if it does really decrease Parkinson's syndrome.
That's pretty interesting. Now, if you can do this in a minute, tell us about a new chemical found in car exhaust, which may be an issue.
Yeah, obviously car exhaust is a bad thing. It's got lots of carcinogens. It's don't put your nose up to car exhaust. But we're all driving around. We're putting car exhaust into the air. And now what we're finding is that we're breathing in this chemical, isocyanuric acid, which is a new discovery in car exhaust. It's probably also in fires. It's damaging to your proteins and to your blood vessels. It could cause hardening of the arteries. And so we're putting quantities of it up into the atmosphere, which the regulators need to see, pay attention to. Is there a way that we could catalytically control the emissions from our tailpipe of this potentially blood vascular damaging contaminant in car exhaust?
All right. Now, if you want to go to Dr. Gary Ginsberg's website, it's wonderful, What's Toxic? whatstoxic.com. There's some things that are, some things that aren't, and some that aren't that you might be pretty surprised they are. whatstoxic.com. 877-711-5211. udocs@gmail.com. youdocs@gmail.com to get to Dr. Mike or get to Dr. Arthur Perry. Straight Talk from the Docs coming up next on You, the Owner's Manual radio show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Thanks for listening and stay well.